Well, hello there. Welcome to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and this week I'm coming to you from one of the nerdiest cities in the United States. Thank you very much. Yep, my hometown of Portland, Oregon was rated by reality blog Movado as the second nerdiest city in the United States, coming in just below Atlanta. What? Atlanta? Really? Okay. Movado based their findings on several per capita ratios, including the number of people per comic book store, video game store, LARPing group, bookstore, computer store, and a couple more. They also used the number of annual comic book, video game, anime, and sci-fi fantasy conventions, and the distance to the nearest Renaissance Fair. So, since this is a realty site ranking these cities, I can only imagine that more nerds will be joining my fair city. Ha ha ha. And now, folks, it's time to take Atlanta down. Come on, we can do it. In this week's Fish Fry, Amelia is the interposer. All right, no, I won't be playing a tiny ball of metal, but I will be talking about where substrate technology is heading and what design tool challenges we'll be facing along the way. My guest this week is Kevin Reinbold from Cadence Design Systems, and we're going to get down to some serious substrate business, the role interposers will play, and how multi-substrate technologies will affect the tools we use. Oh yeah, and we'll fit in some basketball trash talk too. Check it out. My guest today is Kevin Reinbold, Senior Product Marketing Manager, IC Packaging, SIP and Co-Design Solutions Silicon Package Board Group at Cadence. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin.
Thanks, Amelia. Nice to be talking with you today.
Okay, so Kevin, what does the package or PCB impact of an interposer or 3D IC look like?
That's a great question, right? Because when we talk about interposers, we talk about 3D IC. We tend to talk about them somewhat as an individual device.
Right.
But ultimately, those are going to go into some type of product. You know, the product's going to be created through the use of packaging, printed circuit boards, and things like that. So it really becomes a full system problem.
Sure.
And the products that our division deals with, the Silicon Package Board Group, really focuses on how those products get integrated into the package and into the printed circuit board.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to take into account things like socket compatibility would be a great example, where somebody's designing a 2.5D interposer to replace an SoC application.
Right.
It's going to go into an existing socket. Well, that socket's on a printed circuit board already.
Sure.
So you have a layer stack up for the package. You have the layer stack up of the printed circuit board. All of those need to be maintained to some degree to maintain a cost of performance standpoint.
Yeah.
So being able to propagate that information back into the interposer planning piece of it. So when we start figuring out the micro bump locations, the flip chip bumps and things like that, all of that can be done in a fairly flexible manner, being able to look at the full system perspective.
Right. So Kevin, why do you think multi-substrate technologies create new challenges for EDA tools?
Well, it does in a couple of regards. I mean, if we look at a very high level of the different technologies that we're seeing right now,
yeah,
things like 3D IC, things like interposers, and also we have a subset of customers that are doing packaging-based solutions, package-on-package, stack packaging applications.
Right.
If you really look at it from a macro level, these are all multi-substrate problems, whether it's a silicon substrate, whether it's an organic substrate, or a laminate-based substrate, right?
Sure, yeah.
You want to look at this in a holistic fashion. Well, unfortunately, most of the traditional layout tools that we use, whether it's the silicon space, packaging, or board space, they tend to be very single substrate oriented.
Yeah.
But now we're being asked to address these multi-substrate problems. And that's one of the things our division is working on, the Silicon Package Board Group, is developing new solutions to better facilitate multi-substrate design, be it an interposer in a package or be a package on a package.
That makes sense. So Kevin, what role do you see packaging OSATs playing in regard to interposers?
It's an interesting question because my view right now is that they're kind of straddling the fence, right? They have a lot of technology that they're developing on their own for organic-based interposers.
Right.
So leveraging their packaging know-how from the laminate space and taking it down to maybe the 5-micron level, not all the way down to silicon geometries, but down to a smaller geometry than they traditionally would at the package level.
Right.
So you have that activity going on, right, because you have silicon-based interposers and organic-based interposers, and they tend to work more in the organic space. Then they also have packaging-based solutions such as package-on-package or stack packaging applications that they're not necessarily going to give you the same level of performance as a interposer-based solution, but they're going to give you similar density-type benefits. They're going to allow you to stack maybe two different SoCs or different chip technologies together through their packaging formats. And the benefit of that is the reworkability.
Right. There's
a lot of benefit to being able to take out a bad chip in its package and replace it with a properly working device. So that's one of the big benefits.
That makes sense. All right, Kevin, how about an off-the-cuff question? I'm a big NBA fan. I'm a huge Trailblazer fan. Do you follow any particular sport? And if so, what's your favorite team?
I'm a big sports enthusiast.
Okay.
I don't follow the Western Conference that much. I'm an Eastern Conference guy and Celtics guy by heart.
Celtics. All right.
So even though I live down in the Southeast, the Celtics and Red Sox.
You bleed green and...
Green and red.
Green and red, right? Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Likewise, Amelia. Thank you.
Did you know they were coming? They are. And they're bringing their smartphones with them. Herds of them. And they don't care they're using up all your bandwidth with their singing cats, surfing dogs, and barking bird videos. They're going to stream all of Finding Nemo, and you're going to be just fine with it. Yep, I'm talking about the bandwidth bandits, ladies and gentlemen. And it's our duty as engineers to find a way to block these bandwidth bandits. Or rather, give them even more bandwidth. But how are we going to do that? Well, the answer to that question may be close at hand. Check out my newest Chalk Talk entitled Solving the 100G Challenge with ABAX 2. Christian Plant from Tabula and I investigate the various challenges associated with 100G designs, and check out how Tabula's innovative space-time architecture can help us along the way. You can go there right now by clicking the link on this week's Fish Fry page on eejournal.com or visiting our on-demand section on eejournal.com. Are you ready? It's coming your way. It's nerdy giveaway time! Now, folks, I'm extending last week's nerdy giveaway, courtesy of Mauser and Microchip Technology, to give you another chance to win a Microchip T-Chip 003 Chip Kit Starter Pack. All right, you know you want to know a little bit about this super awesome kit. The Microchip T-Chip 003 Chip Kit Starter Pack contains everything you need to develop applications with this Arduino-compatible chip kit platform. The starter pack includes a UNO32 development board with 800 MHz PIC32 processor, featuring 128K flash and 16K RAM. The basic I.O. shield adds a variety of useful I.O. devices, such as buttons, switches, OLED, graphic display, temperature sensor, EEPROM, transistor outputs, and more. A prototype shield from NKC Electronics is also included with an innovative key that can be used to separate shields easily. Microchip chip kit boards work with a multi-platform IDE, and a software framework that is compatible with most Arduino-based applications. So, if you want one of these great kits for your very own, just let me know in the box below the player on this week's Fish Fry page that you want the kit, and what super cool design you would create with it. That'll get you bonus points. Easy as that, seriously, so go get posting, folks, and this kit could be yours. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fry page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, yes, I'll be trolling the floors at Design West this year, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, because I always love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of April 12, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.